Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
As Washington builds the foundation of success on and off the field, we've enjoyed watching this year. It's time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. It will help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. Mention Grant and Danny, get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Ryan Clary, Metal Chris on the production today, making things sound good. We're G&D with you until 6:30. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Austin Eckler. Day later than normal because of the quirky schedule this week with a Thursday game. Speaking of Thursday, we'll give you the details a little later in the show on our Thursday broadcast in Philly. If you're going to Philadelphia, send me a tweet at Grant H. Paulson. If you're going to the game, we'll tell you which Commander's Sports Bar we'll be at live from 2 to 6:30, and then we're going over to the link as well. But with all that out of the way, let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We start on the ice. The Caps are idle until they welcome the Leafs tomorrow in D.C. Mike Vogel joins us now, washcaps.com. Vogues, how about the 8-goal explosion against the Blues? What a performance that was.
It really was. That third period was something to behold, especially because they managed to get a couple of those on the power play. And I think, you know, that could start the floodgates there. People forget that this time last year, power play was also kind of dormant, but so was the 5-on-5 scoring. This year, the biggest difference is they lead the league in 5-on-5 goals, so their power play mediocrity was sort of buried by the fact that the goals were still coming. So now if you get all of those things going at once, it just makes you wonder where they can take it from here. You know, it's only been a month ago today they played their first game of the season. They're sitting at 10-4. And I think the most impressive thing when you drill down to Saturday night's game was them being determined not to lose two games in a row. They lost the night before to Pittsburgh, and so far into the season, 14 games, they followed up each of their four losses with a win. And for me, that's the biggest thing in a league where sometimes both teams get points. It's more important than anything to not go too long without collecting them.
Yeah, folks, the second game of back-to-back, you get on the plane after kind of a sluggish loss to Pittsburgh, and they were spectacular the following night. I thought lost in all that because like everybody, it was an Oprah Winfrey audience game for goals. Like they were rolling in that third period. But Logan Thompson, I thought, was spectacular in that Blues game. Give me your thoughts on him.
Yeah, that's a great point, Danny. And honestly, it's been that way all season. He hasn't given up a goal that would put the Caps behind after the first period all season. You're talking about 7 starts. The only time all season he's given up a goal that put the Caps down was he gave up the first goal in a game at New Jersey early in the season. Actually, it was on the 19th of October. They wound up winning that game 6-5 in overtime, and they've trailed 1-0. And that's the only time that they've been behind with him in the net. There were a couple of games. There was a game against Philadelphia where, you know, the Flyers put on a late surge. I think they may have even tied the game. He's had that a couple of times where he's given up the tying goal, but never the one that would put his team behind. He's been just a real dig-in kind of you're not going to beat me with the game on the line mentality through these first seven games. And, you know, to be fair, Charlie Lindgren's had that as well. He's only given up one goal after the and it was just the other night against Pittsburgh. The goal in the third period is the only goal he's given up after the middle of the second period that would put the Caps behind. So they're quietly getting some really clutch goaltending in the midst of all of this this scoring that's going on in front of those guys.
Did you think at the beginning of the year that Ovi was going to break the record? And do you currently think he's going to? 10 goals, 14 games in.
I mean, someone asked me that actually just a few days ago, and my response was, nobody's ever made a nickel betting against this guy to do anything. I mean, you go back to last year at this time, he was mired. I think it took him 30-some games just to get to 6 goals. And I think he had 8 at midseason. And then we saw him just put on one of those patented Ovechkin rolls. And the thing that stands out to me is you go back to the 2012-13 season, which was only 48 games because of the lockout. He scored 32 goals that year, and that led the league. So he wins the Rocket Richard Trophy. That's more than a decade ago. And what he just did was score 31 goals in 48 games. So more than a decade down the road from leading the league in goals with a, you know, pretty hot run, 32 and 48 is pretty difficult for anyone in this league. And more than a decade down the road at the age of 39, he's essentially duplicated it. You know, part of it coming toward the tail end of last season and part towards, you know, the first 14 games of this season. And, you know, kudos to his line mates as well, because the three of those guys have played so well together. 14 games in, they've been on the ice for 13 goals, 4 and only 4 against. And you get that kind of production from your top line, It can really trickle down, because teams are going to have to pay some defensive attention to that unit, and that leaves some of their lesser players on the ice against the rest of your team.
Vokes, thank you as always, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Good talking to you.
You too, buddy. Hit that Wizard sounder, please. Bullets Forever's Greg Svinberg joins us to talk about those Wizards. Greg, bear with me here for a second. I've got different tiers that I just sort of the way I talk about basketball with buddies and whatever in terms of guys that can, what they can do on offense. I've put Bilal Coulibaly into that kind of, I can get my offense within the offense tier, which I didn't know that he had. In other words, you know, in the flow, he can get to his spots, get his shot off. He's not in that create for myself and others tier yet. Maybe he'll get there, but give me your thoughts on Coulibaly's offensive development.
Yeah, it's been a revelation this season. Obviously, you know, coming into the draft, even last season during his rookie year, the team knew, the league knew he was an elite on-ball defender, and he showcased that. I mean, I think opponents are shooting 32% from the field when guarded by Bilal this year. So the defense is there. The offense is something that, you know, people thought would take a lot of time to develop, but it's developed a lot quicker than I'm sure even Bilal and the team thought. I mean, he's up to 16.3 points per game this season. He dropped a career high at 3 different times this season, he set a new career high. So it's not just the, you know, spot up shooting and the three ball, which has been, you know, much improved this year, shooting 37.5% from deep. It's the creation off the dribble, finding his teammates for open looks. I mean, last night against Houston, he had a stretch where he took 3 defenders in a row off the dribble, went for a Euro step floater, pulled up for a midi, and then set up a guy for a lob. So it's the offensive creation. It's all of that stuff that you thought would come in year 3, year 4, year 5. That's kind of already here in year 2, and it just kind of shows the development and how good Bilal can be, and that he's, you know, he's just scratching the surface of what he can do as an offensive player.
Yesterday, Keshawn George ends up coming off the bench. He'd been rolling offensively. I feel like unnecessarily maybe he got slowed down a little bit because he only got the 9 shots and went 2 for 4 from 3, but thoughts on him and his role right now, and then just the other of the kids, right? These 3 first-round picks, George, Bub Carrington, and Alex Saar, and what we've seen so far.
Yes, you can't really talk about Keyshawn George having to take a step back without discussing, you know, the reason for it, which is that Kyle Kuzma came back from a 5-game absence. And I feel like Wizards fans, they've kind of started to turn a little bit because you have Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington, Alex Starr starting, you know, all of them for those 5 games that Kyle Kuzma's out. Keyshawn George averages 14.6 and a half rebounds and 34-plus minutes in all of those games. And then Kyle Kuzma comes back, and Keyshawn George goes to the bench, only takes, you know, 9 shots, like you said, isn't as aggressive as he usually is. And the reason for that is because a lot of people have to take back seats when Kyle Kuzma's inserted into the starting five. I mean, you look at Bilal Coulibaly and Jordan Poole as two examples. Bilal takes 9 shots per game with Kuzma in, and he takes 12 shots with him out. Poole takes 3 more shots per game with Kuzma out, and that's just across the board. So I think what you saw is, you know, some of the rookies without Kyle Kuzma, they can play a little bit more free, same with Jordan Poole. But with Kyle Kuzma inserted back in, George had to kind of take a step back as that backup three, and you saw him a little more tentative, a little less aggressive than he typically is, and I think that's the reason for it. In terms of the production from the three rookies, I mean, if you look at the top five rookie scorers, the Wizards have three of them, or top six. The Wizards have three, the Grizzlies have two, and the Hawks have one. So that just shows, like, the Wizards had 3 picks within the top 24, and all three of those guys are already within the top six in scoring. So the production is there. The defense is there from all of those guys. And I think you saw that when Kyle Kuzma was out and all of them kind of had to take a step up and take on a bigger role, they kind of took that in stride. And I think that's very intriguing to see from such a young group.
Greg, you're a very young person, which is awesome for you. But are you old enough to remember when the big offseason story was that Chris Humphreys worked on his range and was like going to be a three-point shooter? And then when it got to games, he was throwing fastballs at the back of the rim. The shots just weren't competitive. I bring that up to talk about Sarr, who has not shot particularly well from outside, had an 0 for last night, an 0 for last week against Memphis, Golden State, etc. But to me, the misses aren't bad misses for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the process is there. You can see him when he's in rhythm from the foul line, for example. There's something to this. I know they're not going in just yet, but I'm not discouraged in that regard. What are your thoughts?
When it comes to Sarr, I think the consensus is it's frustrating to see a guy that's 7 foot and, you know, has the intangibles to go inside and play, you know, in the paint as more of a traditional big, kind of sit on the perimeter and just chuck threes. I understand that. But Alex Sarr is very skinny. He's a very slender build. And, I mean, you see him against, like, Steven Adams last night in Houston. He's just getting bullied against Şengün. He got bullied. I think Şengün had 23-17. So it's tough for him to kind of navigate the paint. But where he feels like he can affect the game is from the outside, drawing the bigger, less athletic, less, quick centers out to the perimeter, which opens up driving lanes and all that. And that's a novel concept if you can knock down the three ball. But when you're shooting 18.5% from three, guys don't really respect it. And I feel like you said, his threes aren't complete bricks. Like, they're, you can see the mechanics are there, and you can see the shot looks okay. He's not at that level yet where they're going to go in. And what you've seen is they're not even respecting it. He's getting open looks for a reason. And that's kind of where they're at. And when the Wizards are rebuilding, it's okay. I honestly don't mind him taking all of these threes. I'd like for him to take a little less. I'd like for him to get into the paint more. But you can understand where they're coming from. And if you're the Wizards and you're Sarr, wins and losses don't matter. You want to try a bunch of new things. You want to get game reps. And that's kind of what they're doing from three. So, like you said, it's not like it's completely, you know, the misses are out of left field. They're not even close, because they are. But when you're shooting 18.5%, you kind of got to start navigating into the paint more and you know, diversifying your shot selection. Because if you're just standing on the perimeter and chucking threes and they're not going in, you're inherently hurting your team. I think that's what we've kind of seen offensively.
At Greg Finberg on Twitter, spelled just like it sounds. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
You got it. Be good. All right, let's keep the blitz going. Let's talk football with our buddy Nick Akridge of PFF. Nick, why don't we start with just a thought from you on Washington versus Chicago, Daniels versus Williams, the situations for both of those guys coming in. It could not have gone differently so far. Supposedly, the Bears considering benching Williams this week as they fired their coordinator.
Yeah, it was two polar opposites on how to handle a rookie quarterback. I was never big on Chicago bringing in Caleb Williams. Having Eberflus kind of still there, sort of sitting on the hot seat. It's just never a good thing when you pair a rookie quarterback with that kind of situation. And and we've seen that it's kind of gone downhill. You know, they've got the weapons out there. Something's going on. I haven't really dove too far into their offense, but, you know, Caleb's definitely holding the ball longer than he needs to. The offensive line is not great, and it's been an absolute mess, and I think it kind of starts up front with, you know, what the GM decided to do with the coaches, and then it goes from the coaches down to the players. And I was a fan of Caleb Williams coming out, and it just has not worked well. But then when you compare that to Washington, everything's been kind of perfect the way they've set Jaden up to succeed by, you know, putting the pieces around and putting the right offense around him and kind of having a cohesive plan. And that's, you know, really kind of showed the big difference between the two.
So, Nick, two-parter here, two things. One, I think we should always seek out information, even if it violates our predetermined conclusions. I think we should always confront data and be able to quantify it in a good way. So it's with that said that my second part is I'm annoyed with you because I consider you a smart dude, okay? And I'm sitting there desperate to find validation that they need to give Ben Sinnott more targets instead of Zach Ertz, all right? Like the drops, the fact that he never seems to hold on to the ball, the 0.0 yards after the catch, and in Sunday's case, maybe a loss of a yard after the catch. And I'm going, somebody else see this. And you have a tweet, Ertz has been really good this year, great route runner, constantly knows where to be in zones, so on and so forth. And he's been instrumental for Jaden Daniels. So I guess that answers my question. We're not going to see Sinnott anytime soon, are we?
No, I think it's, you know, it's a weird spot that they're in. I mean, I think Zach Ertz is obviously kind of the stopgap, you know, hoping that Ben Sinnott takes over in the future. But we've seen from the tight end position that it takes a couple years for these guys to really kind of, you know, get their feet under them and really kind of be productive in the NFL. And Zach Ertz is a veteran. He's seen every single coverage. He's run every single route you could possibly do. And then there's kind of little things that he's doing right now, whether that's, you know, sitting down in zones, being able to kind of just slightly separate, that has really, really helped Jaden Daniels and kind of been a bit of a bailout for him at times. He's made some really tough contested catches. Last week was rough. It was probably one of his worst games since being here, but the drop was tough. Obviously, the nickname kind of has really stuck over these past couple weeks, and it's tough in that regards, but I think he's really been important for Jaden and his development.
How do you see the Eagles matchup going?
Yeah, I think it terrifies me. Their receivers have kind of always terrified me, and especially with Washington's defense being you know, the weak spot in the defense is the secondary. We saw it against Pittsburgh as well, and I think the Eagles receivers are better than what Pittsburgh presented, and that's going to be the big challenge there is how are you going to be able to kind of, you know, mitigate that matchup. And I think they've got a massive advantage there, but how, as a defense, can you kind of protect them more? It could turn out to be a shootout. I still do like Washington. I think they can kind of sneak out a win there. I think their offense probably had their worst showing that they've had this entire season, other than the Bucs game week one against the Steelers. But I think they bounced back. I think there was just a lot of mental errors there. And I think they kind of sneak out a win.
Do we think the Luke McCaffrey game is coming still?
I think I am the biggest fan of Luke McCaffrey, number one in his fan club right now. He's constantly open. So I'm going to keep pounding that drum. I'm going to keep saying that breakout game is coming. We saw the big miss shot, you know, kind of in the third quarter there that he could have had a huge 50, 60-yard gain. He is constantly open. He's separating against man coverage. And for whatever reason right now, things are just not clicking with him and Jaden, whether, you know, pressure gets home too quickly and Jaden can't see him in time, or, you know, you got an inaccurate pass, or even in Luke's case, he had a drop. He was open and he had that drop that was pretty costly. So right now it's just not clicking between the two of them, but the underlying numbers in terms of how often he's getting separation and getting open is really, really encouraging.
Nick, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
See you, buddy.
There you go. That is the Beltway Blitz here on Grant and Danny. How should we be viewing this season? Is this still just a house money year? Whatever happens, happens. Or do we need to recalibrate and start having loftier expectations? Next on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30, 2 hours from right now. We will say goodbye on this Tuesday. Danny, I'm a Wheel of Fortune guy. Can I say that? Let's see. By Wheel of Fortune guy, I like the idea of Wheel of Fortune.
Okay. I was going to say, how avid a watcher are you?
I do not watch Wheel of Fortune.
Okay. Who's hosting right now?
Ryan Seacrest.
Okay. You knew that.
Yes. So I
didn't, by the way.
I do like Wheel of Fortune. When I turn it on and play, it's easy to play. It's fun. You can guess. It's not like Jeopardy, where I don't know any of the answers. Sure. I feel like an idiot.
Then the one time they have a sports category, you're like, those nerds.
Oh, it's the
they
best.
Don't know anything.
But what I do love about Wheel of Fortune is when you're watching and there's a very obvious answer and someone gets it wrong. To me, that's the best thing on television. There's only a couple letters left. You're looking at it. It clearly says, give yourself a round of applause. That's what it says. You just have to, you're missing like three letters here, and then someone gets it wrong. This is going viral all over the internet today. I'm guessing it's within the last couple of days. This was Wheel of Fortune.
I want to buy a U.
Well, you're going to get three U's.
I want to solve a puzzle.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Treat yourself a round of sausage.
No. I'm sorry, that's... Okay.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what isn't a saying? Treat yourself a round of sausage.
There are some spelling questions. If you see the visual there, that would come up.
And then the girl just goes, give yourself a round of applause. And Ryan Seacrest is like, yep, obviously yep. That is the answer.
The best ones on those highlights are ones where Pat Sajak would go, yeah, that's it. Like after the other ones weren't. Right. Yeah, that one is.
But I will tell you that you're going to say dumb things when you are tasked with answering questions on live television.
Yep.
It's hard, man. And that is an unforgiving place to be.
Yeah.
Like when you say,
you now live in infamy.
Treat yourself a round of sausage. Congrats, buddy. You're a meme.
Yeah. Every family reunion, every gathering, every Thanksgiving, there's just a plate of sausage for you.
Uncle Edgar's now.
Hey, treat yourself, dude.
It's round of sausage guy. But you don't think that guy's going to see himself on the internet in perpetuity now? I mean, I'm sorry, bud. You're going to see yourself every month for the next 5 years. And just when you forget about it, just when finally you wake up and you go about your day and you don't cringe when you think about that terrible moment you had on national television, how dumb you looked, how stupid you looked, it's going to be back in the algorithm where it's making the rounds again.
Uh-huh. Now, here's me. I don't know anything. I'm just a guy. Just a suggestion. I'm making this to people. Like Johnsonville, who makes sausages. Let's go. Pick it up. There's your slogan.
Oh, he should be the sausage
Treat yourself
guy.
To a round of sausage, and then that guy's holding the box. Done. You're welcome. You capitalize on it. Lean in.
That's 100% going
to
happen.
It should. Like the only way to handle that is to lean in, is to embrace the nickname.
Give yourself... Well, it wasn't
he said, treat yourself. Again, that's the best part to me.
Right.
Because even the most novice way to spell the word treat, you know there's an E before the E that's displayed. So the only letter available in that first word is E, and that's at the end. How do you spell treat, sir? Like, how do you do it? How do you do it without an E before that last letter?
Wheel of Fortune is also the perfect game. And the reason is everyone can play. And it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to spell.
Mm-hmm.
you've got to have a little bit of mental capacity too, because you know there are categories theoretically, like catchphrases, or you know, in that case, if it's give yourself a round of applause, like actions, you know, or some, you know, something yeah. like that, or like graduation day, or something. Uh-huh. So you got to be able to think. And you have to be able to spell.
But you're 100% right. I mean, it's easy to jump.
It's not Jeopardy. It's accessible. Yeah. You know, that's what's great is you turn it on, you see it, I'm answering it, and about half the time I'll get it before they do. Because even the times where they know it, they're going to keep spinning and ramping
they want
up
money
their
or
bank.
Whatever. Yeah.
And this dude says, give yourself,
not treat even, yourself.
Treat yourself a round of sausage.
That's, that, my favorite is treat. Because you're right, though. Like, when it's, I know a decent amount of things, I would say, as a human being. But when you're like, name five actresses that have ever made a movie, I'm like, oh my God, and I can't, right? Like, even, and there's no pressure, it's just you and me talking in a room. But even, there's no lights in here, there's no TV going. But if like, there's money on the line, I would melt like everyone else does. So I get it, but man, that's tough.
Our buddy Dominic in Ohio.
Treat yourself a round of sausage.
Our buddy Dominic in Ohio says, hot take, but I think Jeopardy's easier to play than Wheel. I can't spell to save my life, so that show's impossible. I am, however, full of useless trivia knowledge. You and nobody else thinks that. There's not a single person that would tell you that Wheel of Fortune is more difficult than Jeopardy.
So there's a philosophical point there. So here's where I'm going. Follow me on this. You have to have the information or you don't to succeed at Jeopardy.
Yeah. Which
you know what I mean?
Almost nobody has.
Which it's such a small, select group of people that would even... It's obviously more highbrow that would even think about, like, Edgar Allan Poe lived in this residence until he was 17. Either you know it or you don't.
Yeah, but every grown-up knows every word that's on the board.
And that's kind of where I'm going.
If you get enough spins, eventually you'll be able to see the word and say it.
But if you're in the group of people that knows some of the things for Jeopardy, you don't have to answer a question. You could just sit there. Whereas if it's your turn with the wheel and it's like, all right, treat yourself a round of sausage, like you just can't figure it out, then you might be blocked. I don't know.
But there's, again, you can't not figure it out eventually. Like, this guy was past
yeah,
that
get all
line
the letters, yeah.
of demarcation and still botched it. Jason's in Capitol Heights on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was saying to the screener, that was bad, but... I remember it was a guy, it was a college episode. I think he went to Stanford or Arizona, one of those schools on the West Coast. But he had the word, like, he had gotten all the letters. And
he still couldn't do it.
He mispronounced it. And, you know, he said, you know, whatever it was, I can't remember what it was, but, you know, it's like
I've seen that.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was either, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, where it's now all the letters are there. But you say it wrong.
There's no more spinning of the wheel. You're just reading.
I guess there are potential for snafus like that, for sure, in Wheel of Fortune. It's not quite as easy as I'm making it out to be. But the idea that it's more difficult or more complicated than Jeopardy, no chance. Also, what kind of TV numbers do those shows do? They have been around forever and ever, Danny. I was a child, and Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune were on. Right before I would watch the Orioles games or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do people still in mass watch those, or is that a small crowd that DVRs it and watches it when they want?
I don't. This is such a great question.
The shows, like, to last forever, there's got to be a reason.
There's an audience for it. Yeah. I don't know the answer to this. My instinct is somebody will. There's a hardcore group of people that are obsessed with it and love it. Right, but I think that's a very small group. The majority, it's like, okay, the game starts at 8, and I tune in at 7:47, just because then just the channel's still on by the time the game starts, or something like that. By the way, the puzzle was mythological hero Achilles, and he couldn't say it. Achilles,
yes,
is what he said.
Yes, that's right. Achilles. Find that, Clary. That's a great one.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Yes. He has the puzzle solved for the mythological hero, Achilles or whatever. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't give that to you.
Can we? Nope, we can't do it. I'm sorry.
I just saw another one here someone sent me. I'm looking at it, where it's another feather in your cap, okay? The only letters that are not filled out are the I and in, the U in your, and the C in cap.
Okay.
So it says another feather spilled out, blank N. And then Y-O blank R blank A-P. I haven't watched it. I just know that that's what it is. And the person says, oh, my God, The woman on Wheel of Fortune had two chances at this and got them both wrong.
Both wrong.
She said, in your lap and in your map.
Yeah, another feather in your map. You know that phrase.
So, agree with me then, that if you make yourself to look a fool in Wheel of Fortune, you're a dumber person than if you make yourself to look a fool on Jeopardy.
Yeah, without question. Because here's the thing, on Jeopardy, you could not, the buzzer, learning how to buzz in is hard. Because your buzzer is closed.
It's
until
a timing mechanism.
Yeah, like the guys that are really good at it master that. No one ever talks about that part. So I think that's an interesting thing as well. When it's Wheel of Fortune, your turn is your turn. The person before you gets the, it just goes to you, right? Or you miss the puzzle. Like,
spin,
it's your turn.
Wheel.
Yeah. You sleep, by
Which
the way.
Which one would you rather be on?
Wheel of Fortune.
I agree.
Because there's a chance. There's a chance.
What about like Sports Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Even still Wheel of Fortune.
I think so too. Even though I would love to play Sports Jeopardy, there's just something, there's a romantic nostalgia to just getting to reach over
the wheel.
I think that would be silly.
But it's also you have a second to think. Like, to me, it's the on the spot where it's like these other two people already know it and are sitting there firing their buzzer, waiting to weigh in.
Yeah.
And I have to recall it quickly. I need the second to, like, okay, he put an I up there. He put the N up there. What am I looking at?
Another reason why it's easier.
It's easier.
This was the funny one that the caller mentioned.
I saw.
Oh, well, that'd be a good idea, yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
We can't accept that.
Okay.
Shelby.
I'll solve.
Yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Yeah, that's it.
There's the pack. Did you hear it? Yeah, that's it. Now, what you sleep on in there is the kid going, okay.
Who says okay?
Wait again. Listen.
The one that got it wrong.
Yeah. So Pat Sajak tells him, "Yeah, we can't accept that. Like, he can't believe it." And then listen for the kid's response, or don't listen to it, I guess. No.
Also, why are you calling him a kid? He's a grown up.
I thought this was the college one, college tourney.
Well, okay, maybe. But
fine. I mean, the young adult.
Well, I didn't know it was a college thing. I thought they were grown ups.
Okay.
I saw.
Oh, well, that'd be a good idea. Yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
You can't accept that.
Okay.
that is a nervous...
Okay. Like, okay.
That's a nervous tick, if I've ever heard one. That you're that's tough. You know, you're like...
We can't accept that.
I just made a clown out of that.
Okay.
Ooh. And then she's basically laughing in your face.
Yeah, your face.
She's spiking the ball.
Yes.
She's going full-on Gronk spike on your ass.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Yeah,
but go back even before. You can kind of hear she's like half giggling, half when she starts her, can I go? Like, is it my turn?
You can't accept that.
Okay.
Shelby.
I'll solve.
Yeah.
I'll solve.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
That's
brutal.
That's the perfect little clip right there. Because you get the apologetic Pat. You get the kid going, okay.
Is that one worse than the one we started with that's viral today?
I think it's worse because it's the words. They're all spelled. Like, you got a little brain fart going there where you're guessing at letters.
Tough word.
I mean, again, treat is really hard for me to figure out how we got there. Because it ends with an E.
It's four. It's
like, that's so hard.
It's four letters with three blanks and an E. And he says treat.
It's treat. How have you been spelling treat your whole life, dude?
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Okay.
The first word is blank, blank, blank E. Treat yourself. A round of sausage. Also, what is a round of sausage? I've heard of a round of a lot of things.
Several sausages. Many.
How many sausages are in a round? I went to go get breakfast at Bob and Edith's yesterday. I got two sausage links.
Is that a round?
I think I got a round of sausage.
That's the single unit of a round is two.
I treated myself, and I spell that T-R-E-E, I guess.
With an E on the end?
Treat yourself. A round of sausage.
How does he spell treat?
Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's get into the Commanders as they get ready for the Eagles. How should we be viewing this season moving forward? This is the fan.
I saw.
Oh, well, that'd be a good idea, yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
You can't accept that.
Okay.
So yesterday we posted a poll as to whether or not you were encouraged or discouraged by the Commanders' loss to the Steelers. And that kind of led to quite a big conversation in the comments and an argument between people saying, how could you possibly be encouraged by that loss? Or what on earth are you thinking? This team's 7-3 and the Steelers were off a bye and Jaden Daniels is the real deal. Are you kidding me? You would be discouraged. And it kind of dawned on me, Danny, that your answer to that question and how you feel about that individual outcome is going to be based on how you feel right now about any given game during this season. And there's a couple of camps, I think. And I'm just curious to take the temperature of the fan base and take inventory here with you on where we think people should be setting up shop, you know, setting up their tent, so to speak, right now.
Mm-hmm.
If there's two territories here. One, where you say house money season, whatever happens is awesome. They're way ahead of schedule. They're pretty good. So wins are bonuses and let's see what happens. Or now they're here. Let's live in the present. You're good. There's not that many other teams in the NFC that are. There are very few teams in the league that are better than you. You're a top 7-10 team in the National Football League, probably. It will be disappointing when you blow a 10-point lead at home. And it should be. It isn't okay if they collapse down the stretch and lose a bunch of games that they shouldn't. Which side of the aisle would you be on? And I want to open up the phones on this for you guys as well at 800-636-1067. Where are you on this? I mean, are you still thinking about this season just like you did before it started when the over-under was 6.5 wins and you were going, man, it'd be really cool if the Commanders got to 7-8 wins. If they win 9 or 10 games, that is a miracle performance by Dan Quinn, Coach of the Year. Let's do this thing. Or now that they're here, do you go, okay, that's what I thought. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
And now they were 7-2. Their schedule, charm and soft. There's no reason why they can't win 11 games. And that should absolutely be the expectation that they should be able to win this division. Worst case, be a wild card, be a 10 or 11 win team, and make the playoffs. Are you willing to recalibrate in that way? Or is it still just the house money? Whatever happens, happens, because it's year one, new GM, new head coach, new quarterback, and it's all gravy.
Did a lot of thinking about this as we were, you know, thinking about doing this topic. And I actually think my answer, I got to this conclusion, is still house money. And I'm surprised by that. But that's kind of where I am. And I think it also sort of depends on your exact thesis about what this team is. To me, they're above the dregs, whereas that usually is what the bucket they occupied. Sometimes they creep out of it for a win or two, but they belonged in that disgusting bucket of irresponsible, ridiculous, clown shoe garbage, right? They're long put that in the rearview mirror. Then there's the bucket of okay. I think they climbed out of the okay bucket and are in the pretty good bucket. Not the great bucket. I don't know how many teams are in the great bucket this year, to be honest with you. Maybe it's Detroit. Maybe it's Kansas City, even though the metrics don't say so. But they're in that pretty good bucket. I don't think they're ready to do the things that we're going to try to assign and expect them to do if we're no longer viewing this as house money. And I guess what I mean is they haven't beaten good teams yet. And I know, and that sounds like it's a knock. It's not. It's a kind of a reality. They're plenty good enough to beat anybody worse than them, and they have. Anybody that's on their level, there's no nail-biting at the end. I mean, I guess maybe the Giants stuff, but that's divisional. That's different. If you're an inferior opponent, you're going to get smacked around by this team. That's where they are. And I think that's enormous amounts of progress. So I'm still very pleased. I'm still thrilled. I don't want to say that I'm satisfied. I was furious losing that game on Sunday. But kind of how it happened mattered more maybe than necessarily the big picture. Big picture, which is where I'm still kind of concentrating my energy here, I'm beyond thrilled, and all of the validating pieces of what an organization needs, they're checking every box. So this to me is a wonderful beginning, better than I ever could have hoped, but I just don't say, or I don't see a, because they're here, they're now an NFC Championship contender. I think they're a little bit short of that, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about NFC Championship. I'm talking about, you said yesterday on the show that Sunday was a massive disappointment.
It was discouraging, yeah.
That it was not encouraging or discouraging. And I think it's hard to be on both sides of that. Like, I can understand being frustrated or upset with the loss yesterday as mm-hmm. a fan. The team lost. They were up by 10. But like me, or I think you went back and forth at one point with Sheehan on the show yesterday, our point is, and I was in lockstep with him, football happened. Two good teams played. One of them won. It wasn't Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, yeah, but look at how many drops they had, and look at this, and look at that. So if you're in house money mode, I think you'd be more inclined to say yesterday was encouraging because you're playing with Pittsburgh off of a bye. You're within a point.
That makes sense. Here's how I got there. To me, part of my big picture evaluation, why I don't think they're a title contender or whatever you want to call it, is it reared its head on Sunday, right? I think they're a playmaker away. I think there's too much Zach Ertz, but they don't have a better option right now. Like the drops, those things are endemic of what I think is going to hold them back from being one of these really, really great teams that can win playoff games. Like that 3rd-and-9 moment where it's Noah Brown hits him right in the chest. It's in traffic. It's a tough catch, but they don't have a dude opposite Terry McLaurin that you feel comfortable with every time. He might come through next time, Noah Brown, and he's had some big plays. I'm not criticizing anybody. I just think they're a little bit shy when it comes to being one of these elite teams.
But I think you're having a different conversation than the one I'm pitching.
But that's how I get there. My point is, so I'm like so disappointed yesterday about Sunday, because the way it happened, if it was simply just you had backups in at the guard spot, tackle spots, and TJ Watt ate your lunch, I'd go, yeah, all right, that's going to happen. I'd be encouraged because you still hung with a really good team. It was their own mistakes against a good team that undid it. And that's exasperating to me.
Which happens when you're in a rebuild.
Sure. And that's my point. We're in a rebuild.
Yeah, which is what you're admitting, though. You're saying we're in a rebuild. That's going to happen. So you would think you would throw your hands up and go, eh, it happens, rather than going, oh, that's so heartbreaking. Or heartbreaking is the wrong word, but maddening, you got to win that game. I'm going to make the case, though, that I think people should recalibrate. That who cares what you thought before the season? None of us were right. Unless you thought they were going to win 11 games and get to the playoffs and have a chance at a Super Bowl, and Jaden would be the rookie of the year, and Kingsbury's the offensive coordinator of the year, and Quinn's the coach of the year, and Peters is the executive of the year. And a few people thought that, by the way. They also picked that Ron Rivera would be the coach of the year right. last year, and Sam Howell would be the quarterback of the year and an MVP candidate. And this time, the clock was correct for one of the two times in the day or whatever. But unless you were one of the burgundy and gold wearing like fans that has the Block W chain or whatever, as you tell me that they're going to go 12-5 before every season, almost none of us saw this coming. No crime in that. But it is time to recalibrate and reset expectations. We're here now. As a fan base, collectively, in the DMV, this football team is good. We should expect that they go out and play well now. There's no reason not to. But I'll make that case next. G&D. Right here on The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.